Good morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of Neighbors of Hope. We'll share struggles and triumphs and how through the Word, everyone can experience the loving and healing reality of Christ's compassion. Now here's the Neighbors of Hope Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. How are we doing?
Good morning.
Still recovering from that Thanksgiving dinner we were blessed with there, gentlemen?
Sure.
This is the first Sunday of Advent. And I thought, when we think about the themes of Advent, coinciding with really our blessing of Thanksgiving. Today's episode, maybe we could focus on that theme of gratitude, that theme of being content in all things, that theme of Thanksgiving. So what I'd like to do is just maybe let's pull out a little scripture. We're going to take from Paul's writing in Philippians. And use that to reflect upon your own sense of gratitude, gratefulness, Thanksgiving. Right? Particularly as we're approaching the coming of the Christ child in the Advent season. Sound good?
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, they are nodding their heads in the affirmative.
So bring it on.
All right. Thank you. So, Eric, could you go ahead and read from Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 4, maybe beginning at verse 10 through 13 or 14 or so?
Sure.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks for their gifts. I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through Him who gives me strength.
Very good. Very good. Just a little contextual note. Right. Paul's prison experience has taught him a lot. And here he, at the closing part of this letter to the people of Philippi, Paul is showing his appreciation for their generosity. Thank you for your financial support. Right? But he's really trying to get them to understand that, look at it, in Christ, all right, part of the spiritual recognition of spiritual maturation is that in Christ, we're good no matter what our circumstances are. Whatever our situations are, whatever our financial status is, right? And for Paul, this is prison. Right? In Christ, wherever we are, whatever in our wallet, we're good. Right? So he's trying to get them to focus on, I've learned to be content in all things. Right? Because I am in Christ, and Christ is in me. And that needs to be at the forefront. Right? That being said, what's some of your reflections on this little pericope from Paul's letter to the people of Philippi?
I believe it the same way, except I would say, like he's saying also, lack is not necessarily a sign of God's disfavor. Just like having plenty isn't necessarily a sign of His approval.
Agreed. We even talk about understanding God as absolute substance. God lacks the lack. We've looked at things like the story of Adam and Eve, right? The minute we have a desire for something else other than God that we think is going to bring us wholeness or completeness, right? It's our way. One, we recognize there's a certain gap. If I can just get to that, whatever that object is. And there's always that serpent's voice, so to speak, what Freud called the superego, whispering in our ear. You can have that. And when you do, you'll be what? Complete. You will be like God and lacking the lack. Rather than, so it's hard for us to embrace our sense of lack. Rather than trying to reach for whatever that fruit is, like Adam and Eve, and trying to fulfill. Because usually what we discover, right, is that once we fill the gap, it brings about some sort of dissatisfaction, some satisfaction that may just be temporary. Oftentimes it's some form of destruction, right? So in that case, you're absolutely right. You know, learning to be content in all things is really about embracing our sense of lack. But that's part of the human condition.
Okay.
Rather than really scheming, fiending, right, for that which is going to fulfill my sense of lack. Whether that be a new car, you know, the clothes, more money, more affirmation, attention, affection, whatever it is.
Okay, so you could say these are artificial feel goods. Is that
oftentimes those are, right? Because they do temporarily make us feel better. But where's the drive to feel better come from? And I think you're right on an insight that Paul's saying you need to keep that at bay rather than trying to fulfill it. Just recognize it and be content. And that's why the focus always comes back to being in Christ. Right? Christ in us. That should be sufficient. Right? You really don't need anything else. You don't need to pick the forbidden fruit or whatever your form of prohibition is.
Hmm. Yes. Which is interesting because Paul puts like this kind of a negative on... cast this view on it can be a problem to have a little bit or it can be a problem to have a lot almost. This kind of view of we have more isn't going to fix it. And once you have more, it's still not fixed.
Yeah, I mean, there's all kinds of examples. I mean, we can think of, right, our desire, if I would only win the lottery.
Yeah.
And then what do they say? Something like 90% of all people that win the lottery lose those funds within 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
If you know, we may know of people that are pretty affluent and well off, and there's a sense of guardedness on that too. I mean, you know, wealth can affect us. Nowhere is that a statement that you know, money is an evil of some sort, right? Mm-hmm. But there becomes an increased responsibility for that. As much as there's the same responsibility without. But sometimes we have these drives, these desires. If only I could get the promotion, right? If only I could get that girl, right? If only I had those clothes, or if only I had that educate, right? This kind of if-then thinking is what we're talking about, this drive that we think is going to complete us. And here, you're right, Paul's just saying, Let's just be content in where you're at. As long as you recognize Christ in you, in Christ, right? and Christ alone, that needs to be the top priority. Adam and Eve weren't good enough just being with God. They wanted to be like God. They wanted to, you know, that, right? Isn't that what the superego serpent's voice says? You know, if you eat this, you will be like God. You will lack the lack. And sometimes we think whatever that object is that's going to fulfill our gap is going to make us where I won't feel like I lack anything anymore. The sense of completeness. Mm-hmm. And the minute we focus on that, we're not focusing on the Christ in us that already completes us. I mean, how many times Paul says, in Christ, I am complete.
Mm-hmm. Well, plus if you do take care of whatever the problem is or whatever, there's always going to be something else. You know what I mean?
Yeah, more often than not. Yeah, it's not enough.
Yeah.
And that's precisely because we haven't really addressed that that drive that seeks out those objects. But so that being said, then how does that affect your sense of gratitude? Look at it. Here we sit in Neighbors of Hope. You know, a transitional housing program. You know, Thanksgiving and all the other holidays tend to be haunting reminders of where you're not, where you'd rather be.
Sure.
Were you able this past Thanksgiving to actually stand content in Christ? And if not, which there's nothing wrong with confessing that just means we're still working on our spiritual maturation. How'd you handle those type of things?
I found this season to be very challenging. At least this Thanksgiving to be very challenging in the weeks leading up to it, because just sitting back and reflecting about like where I am at, my life, but also where I think our community is and our nation is at, and to the point where why is it that less and less families are gathering, but we're making bigger and bigger places to serve, you know, they were serving the poor in a different, bigger capacity instead of inviting them in. You know, why, where's their families at? You know, yeah. It's such a great need, don't get me wrong, like the need and the idea of like, you know, having this huge place for people to, the building for people to come and gather and to have Thanksgiving dinners with other people, but where's the family? Where's the dynamic of the family at? Like, and then the people that are serving them, a lot of times are older couples that they're not with their families because their families, there's so many, families are so split up that we're, it's so lost. We're kind of lost in transit with each other that we're not to get really together. We're just creating places to be together, but are we really emotionally there? And that's where I had it. My challenge was I had to really reflect, am I content with, am I in the contentness of the idea that I know God's with me and that's all that matters? It doesn't matter where I'm at that moment in time. And if I'm, you know, have the dream vision of my whole family together at a big old table, or is it that I'm with these other people because God's there with me? He's there to help me serve them. Is that more contenting? You know, it's very challenging to, I think, there's a lot of struggle this week with me. And I think for me, it was hard to get through, but then I started realizing yesterday when I was in the mix of three different family, like three different groups of subgroups of people, it was just a blessing to be present and have conversation with people. And that's what I kind of went home with that day and able to sleep, was that I had some really amazing conversations and was able to just break bread with them.
Yeah, yeah. Well said. Well said. Anybody else want to share a little bit?
I think that idea of always being thankful in every situation, and even in the hard times, you know, it's easy to be thankful, you know, in the good times, but in the hard times, how can you be thankful in that way? Because, you know, I always like the thought of like precious metals, it has to be burned to burn off the impurities, and so maybe you should be thankful in those hard times because it's a chance to get rid of the impurities and the bad things, the things that aren't needed in your life. So you're going through that fire to become more pure in Christ and getting rid of just the junk in your life that you don't need.
Yeah, I agree.
Burning away the dross.
Which is another way in here we would say, you know, where do we get to a point where we embrace our suffering, we embrace our brokenness, we embrace our lack, those type of things. To recognize that shortcomings, lack, suffering, brokenness is part of the human condition. We're the ones that are really striving to fulfill that, which is almost, you know, to replace it, which is almost like saying, I'm not really want to be fully human. I don't want to be truly human. Mm-hmm. I don't like the pain. I don't like the hardships. Yet, you know, elsewhere Paul writes, suffering produces endurance, endurance character, and character hope, and hope does not disappoint. If you want to build a character, you might need to face a little fire, right? You might need to embrace your little suffering.
Yeah.
Right? All those type of things. You were going to say?
It puts an interesting perspective on what Eric made me said. What Eric said makes me think about the point of view of pain from a muscle. You're going to need strength, but it's really easy to look at pain as, ouch, I'm a muscle right now. Not I'm building strength for something God's going to lay on me or life's going to lay on me later on. And it's really easy sometimes to have this sadistic kind of view of like, why, just why? And not think about that as muscle growth in a way that you're growing and God's preparing you for things that you're going to have to go through. You know, and in the meantime, yes, it hurts, but that pain is not, it's for a purpose. You know, it's working together with this life of Christ. It's a process of going forward towards something.
Right. That's a solid analogy. Thank you. Well, thank you, gentlemen, for joining us on this week's edition of Learn Made Flesh. Until we meet again, may God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you all.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh. Neighbors of Hope brings people hope through a comprehensive suite of Christ-centered programs that include the Men's Ministry, Blessings and More Resale Store, our Third Day Farm Project, Fishes and Loaves Food Pantry, and of course our radio ministry, Word Made Flesh. We're also in the process of establishing a women's and children's transitional housing program. Find out how you can become a neighbor of hope at neighborsofhope.com. And please join us again next Sunday morning for Word Made Flesh.